power of your personality, your levels of energy, intensity, and even velocity will largely determine your effectiveness in everything you do. Fully 85% of your success will be determined by your ability to get along well with others and to interact effectively with them. You can dramatically increase your levels of success and happiness by simply becoming a more positive person. Earl Nightingale once said that attitude was the most important word in the English language. Your attitude is defined as your general approach to life and people, just as the attitude of an airplane is determined by its approach to the horizon, either above or below, either positive or negative. People with average abilities but above average personalities tend to earn more money, be more popular, and achieve greater success faster than people with above average abilities but who have negative personalities. The good news is that just as physical fitness is learned and developed through practice, a positive mental attitude is learned and developed through practice as well. When I began my adult life, confused and ignorant, living in my car and working at low-level laboring jobs, the great big world around me was confusing and contradictory. It was a complete mystery. I had no idea why some people were more successful than others. When I began studying success, I was surprised to find that all the great philosophers, thinkers, teachers, and mystics throughout human history had spent most of their lives attempting to answer the one question, how shall we live in order to be happy? From the beginning of recorded time, the question of happiness and success has been the preeminent question of human life. Every debate in philosophy, metaphysics, religion, and psychology has revolved around the various answers to what constitutes success and how you and I can enjoy more of it. When I began speaking about success, some people stopped me and told me that all I was concerned about was money. They said that they weren't that concerned about money. They were interested in health or relationships. Of course, when someone says that they're not interested in money, we know that they will lie about other things as well. But this question forced me to define success and break it down into simple terms. In my estimation, you can bake the cake of success if you have four basic ingredients. The first of these ingredients is high levels of health and energy. Everyone wants to be healthy. Everyone wants to have more energy so that they can do more things and live more fully. If you have excellent levels of health and vitality, you have the foundation for success and happiness in anything that you do. The second ingredient of success is happy relationships. Most of your success and happiness in life will come from your relationships with other people. People who are truly successful are pleasant, positive, and popular with others. Both health and relationships can be what are called deficiency needs as well. This means that as long as you have them, you don't think about them very much. But if you are deprived of good health or if you have problems in your relationships, you think of nothing else. In order for you to be able to turn your mind and energies to higher and more important things, you need to achieve a certain level of health where you don't think about it and a certain quality of relationships where you're not worried about them most of the time. The third ingredient of success is meaningful work, work that you do well and that makes a difference to others. As human beings, we are designed to be actively involved, actively engaged in doing and producing something that has an effect in our world. People who live the longest and have the happiest lives are the ones who are the most busy doing something that they feel is important and that somehow enriches the lives and work of other people. The fourth ingredient of success is financial independence. For you to be completely happy, you must have enough money so that you don't worry about money. If health, good relationships, meaningful work, and financial independence are the inputs or ingredients of success, what then are the outputs or results? In my estimation, the true measures of success and happiness are your levels of self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride. Self-esteem means that you like yourself and consider yourself to be a valuable and important person. Self-respect means that you respect yourself because you know that you are respected by the other important people in your life. And personal pride means that you feel good about yourself because you are doing something important and you're doing it well. You feel like a winner. As a result of high levels of self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride, you have a tremendous feeling of personal confidence and personal power. You feel wonderful about yourself and your world. You feel that you can do just about anything you put your mind to. And as Henry Ford said, if you believe you can do a thing or you believe you cannot, in either case, you're probably right. Perhaps the very highest level of personality development and personal power is that you reach the point where you are unafraid. You feel unstoppable. There's nothing that you will not attempt. When you reach the point in your life where you feel so good about yourself and your abilities that you're willing to try almost anything, you have reached the point where your success is virtually guaranteed. I looked around at people who seemed to be doing extremely well in life and began asking the question, why is it that some people are more successful and happy than others? This led me to the discovery of the foundation law of Western thought, of Western philosophy. Aristotle called it the principle of causality. We call it the law of cause and effect. This law says that everything happens for a reason. Success is not an accident. Failure is not an accident. Happiness, health, good relationships, meaningful work, and financial independence have direct causes and effects, explanations and reasons. I'm still amazed at the simplicity and power of this basic law. It simply says that if you can define something that you want, you can then find someone else who has achieved it. And if you do the same things that that person did, you will get the same results. Cause and effect. No mystery. It is the fundamental principle that determines everything that happens to us and around us in life. Of course, the law of cause and effect also says that if there is an effect in your life, like poverty, ill health, or problems in relationships that you don't like, you can trace it back and find out the causes, and by removing the causes, you can remove the effect. And there's no other way. In the Bible, the law of cause and effect is referred to as the law of sowing and reaping. This law says that whatever you sow in your life, you will reap in your reality. A logical extension of this is that whatever you are reaping today is a result of what you have sown in the past. If you want to reap something different in your life in the future, you must sow something different in your thinking and your actions today. The most powerful application of this law of cause and effect is this: thoughts are causes and conditions are effects. Your thoughts are the primary causes of the conditions or effects in your life. Your thought is creative. Your thought creates your entire world. Nothing in your world has any meaning except for the meaning that you give to it with the way you think about it. We know that the law of concentration is a critical factor in your success. This law says that whatever you dwell upon or think about gradually grows in your life. If you concentrate single-mindedly on anything for any period of time, it begins to emerge, grow, and expand in your life. When you become preoccupied with something, either a goal or a problem, you reach the point eventually where you can think of nothing else. And whatever you are thinking about with tremendous concentration, you begin to see all around you. This is the most important principle of success ever discovered. It is, you become what you think about most of the time. Just imagine, you become what you think about most of the time. You become only what you think about. You achieve only what you think about. You go in the direction of whatever you think about. This means that you can change the direction of your life by changing what you think about most of the time. The key questions that you have to ask throughout your life are simply these. First, what do you think about most of the time? And second, how do you think about it? What do you think about, and how do you think about it? Thoughts are causes, and conditions are effects. The thoughts that you sow in your mind, you reap in your experience. You cannot plant one kind of seed and expect something different to grow. You cannot think one kind of thought and get a different result. You do become what you think about most of the time. The best news is that only you can decide what you think about most of the time. Successful people in every area of endeavor have one special quality. They think and talk most of the time about the things they want. Unsuccessful people, sadly enough, think and talk about the things they don't want. In both cases, successful people get more of the things they want, and unsuccessful people get more of the things they don't want. Thousands of people have been interviewed over the years and asked the simple question on a regular basis, "What are you thinking about right now?" The researchers find that successful, happy, healthy, and prosperous people are thinking about success, health, happiness, and prosperity most of the time. Unhappy, frustrated, underachieving people are thinking, talking, complaining, and worrying about exactly the things that they don't want most of the time. So here's the question. What do you think and talk about most of the time? Because if you change what you think and what you talk about most of the time, you change your life. Over the last 25 years, many hundreds of thousands of men and women have been interviewed and asked to complete psychological tests. The purpose of these tests was to find out what kind of attitude and personality they have and what kind of thinking qualities they use most of the time. The work by Dr. Barton Seligman of the University of Pennsylvania, commissioned by a large insurance company to determine the psychological profiles of salespeople before they were hired, confirmed this simple cause and effect relationship. What Dr. Seligman found was that the most important single quality for high performance, happiness, and success in life was the quality of optimism. Optimism seemed to be a summary quality that embraced self-esteem, self-respect, personal pride, self-confidence, and feelings of personal power. All of these feelings together manifested themselves in a generally optimistic attitude toward life. You've heard of the importance of a positive mental attitude for years. A positive mental attitude is not a happy-happy or silly approach to life. A positive mental attitude is a generally positive and constructive approach to the invariable ups and downs and difficulties that each person faces every day. It is the ability to keep your mind on the things you want and not become too preoccupied or distracted by the things that you don't want. Optimists have two remarkable qualities. Because they have higher levels of optimism than the average person, they tend to be what is often seen as unrealistic. Because they have a much higher level of confidence in outcomes, they are willing to try more things, to make more calls, to attempt more undertakings, and to set more goals. They are unrealistically optimistic about their likelihood of success, so they habitually get into more things, take on more projects, grab more opportunities than the average person. The second wonderful quality of optimists is that they have an unrealistic expectation of success in the things they attempt. As a result, they're far more likely to persist, to try over and over again in the face of the inevitable setbacks and disappointments that go along with day-to-day life. They keep on keeping on. They try once, they try twice, and they try again and again. In sales, for instance, they make far more calls initially because of their optimism about results. Later, they call back far more often because of their optimism about eventually succeeding. George Gendron, the editor of Inc. magazine, the magazine for entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial businesses, was asked in an interview recently if there was a particular quality that successful entrepreneurs seem to have. He replied that he had interviewed thousands of successful entrepreneurs over the years, and the predominant quality they all seemed to have was an absolute determination to succeed. He said that they simply could not be stopped. No matter what happened, they continued to bounce back and try again. They may have had major business reversals, bankruptcies, collapses in their personal and financial lives, but they never considered the possibility of failure. To them, failure was not an option. no matter what happened, they just picked themselves up and threw themselves back into the battle again. Like the Energizer Bunny, they just kept going and going and going. People talk a lot about luck, but luck is largely based on the law of probabilities. The law of probabilities says that the more things you try, the more likely it is that you will eventually triumph. Optimists use the law of probabilities. They try far more things initially, and they persist at far more things for far longer. As a result, they dramatically increase the likelihood that they will eventually be successful. In Dr. Seligman's study of successful salespeople, he found that optimism was more important than education, intelligence, experience, family background, or national origin. An optimistic salesperson would simply make more calls on more people under more circumstances. An optimistic salesperson would call back over and over again and confidently, optimistically ask for customers to buy their products or services. As a result, they sold more and more and became more and more confident in their own abilities. Their self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride increased with every success. And the more confident they became, the more calls they made, and the more they persisted, until their careers got onto an upward spiral and their income simply went up and up and up. Pessimists, on the other hand, are easily discouraged. They make fewer calls and they quit earlier. They blame all their problems on the product, on the company, on the market, and on the competition. They avert their eyes and ignore the fact that there are other people selling the same product out of the same offices, under the same conditions, to the same people who are selling 5 times and 10 times as much as they are. The great discovery is that optimism is a mental ability or skill that can be learned. Just as you can learn to type with a typewriter or ride a bicycle, you can learn to be an optimist by practicing thinking the way optimists think. Anything that you do repeatedly over and over again eventually becomes a habit. You can develop the habits of optimistic thinking and lock them in so deeply that they become automatic. After that, your whole life takes off. There's a direct association between your levels of optimism and your health, the quality of your relationships, how well you do your work, and eventually, how financially successful you are. The more optimistic you are, the more positive and energetic you are. The more effective and impactful you are with other people, the more others like and respect you and want to help you, work with you, promote you, and pay you more money. The more optimistic you are, the easier it is for you to sell because more customers want to buy from you and recommend you to their friends. Mental fitness is like physical fitness. It requires effort to achieve, but once you've achieved it, mental fitness makes you competent and capable of doing far more things and getting far more pleasure out of life. The key question then becomes, how is it that optimists think? What are the habitual thinking qualities of optimists? What kind of attitudes do they have? How do they approach their lives and deal with the inevitable ups and downs of making a living in a competitive society? First of all, let me make a key point. Life is a continuous succession of problems. The problems never end. They come like waves of the ocean, one after another, constantly, insistently, with very little let-up or time to relax. If you're living a normal, busy life, your life is probably moving in and out of crisis every 2 or 3 months. These may be large crises or they may be small crises, but everyone is experiencing problems and crises all the time. Even the most successful, happy, prosperous person you know is dealing with small and large problems, small and large crises, virtually every day, every week, every month. This simply goes with the territory. It's a part of being alive, of being human. The only question then is, how do you deal with the inevitable problems and crises that life throws at you? Optimists have 4 specific ways of dealing with difficulties in life. Each of these is learned through practice. As you practice them and learn them until they become an automatic part of your responses, you become a more and more optimistic and positive person, and your whole life opens up before you like a sunrise. First of all, optimists look for the good in every situation or every difficulty. They make a habit, even a game, of finding something good in even the greatest difficulty. W. Clement Stone was famous for greeting every difficulty by immediately saying, "That's good," and then setting about to find something good in it. And if you're looking for something good in a difficult situation, you can't be thinking about something bad or negative at the same time. The very act of looking for the good keeps your mind positive and creative. It keeps your personality upbeat and cheerful. It keeps your mind fully turned on and alert. Your mind is very much like a light bulb with a dimmer switch. When you are feeling positive and optimistic about yourself and your activities, your brain is turned on to full brightness. You are more cheerful, more energetic, more personable, and you have higher energy. You think better and you come up with better ideas, better insights, better possibilities. Your entire neocortex, your thinking brain, lights up like a Christmas tree, sparkling with possibilities. If you allow yourself to become negative, fearful, anxious, worried, or angry, the dimmer switch on your brain, unfortunately, turns down, down, down. You become pessimistic and angry. You go into survival mode and you think about fight or flight. Your ability to think creatively diminishes dramatically. This is why it's so important that you look for something good in every setback or difficulty. It keeps your mind bright and alert. It keeps your dimmer switch on full. The second quality of optimists is closely tied to the first. Optimists always look for the valuable lesson in every setback or difficulty. They're always looking for something they can learn. As Napoleon Hill wrote in his study of hundreds of the most successful people in America, they all came to believe that within every setback or difficulty there lies the seed of an equal or greater benefit or advantage. This is one of the greatest success principles ever discovered. Within every problem you face, large or small, short or long term, there is a valuable lesson. And while you are looking for the valuable lesson, your mind remains positive, optimistic, and clear. It's not possible for you to become negative when you are looking for something valuable that you can gain from whatever situation you're wrestling with at the moment. And here's an important point. Your biggest difficulty or problem in life right now has been sent to you at this moment to teach you a valuable and important lesson that you need right now for your continued growth and development. Your biggest difficulty in life has been sent to you to force you to dig deeply into your creativity and your mental resources. It's almost as if you have a guardian angel that is sending you exactly the lessons you need at exactly the time and in exactly the form that you need them. Instead of becoming upset or angry over a problem or setback, imagine that it has been sent to you to help you to be more successful in the future. My friend Norman Vincent Peale used to say that when God wants to send you a gift, he wraps it up in a problem. And the bigger the gift that God wants to send you, the bigger the problem he wraps it up in. You may find yourself surrounded with gifts at this very moment. Within every difficulty you are wrestling with, there's a valuable lesson or insight that you need in order to move ahead in your life. The only question is, do you look at the problem, think and talk about the problem, or do you look for the gift and think and talk about the valuable lesson? How you react and respond to the inevitable difficulties that come your way largely determines everything that happens to you in life. The third quality of optimists is that they are intensely future-oriented. They think about the future rather than the past. They think about where they are going rather than where they're coming from. As Lord Maynard Keynes once wrote, "You must give a lot of thought to the future because that is where you will be spending the rest of your life." Perhaps the very worst use of time and energy is for you to continually complain and worry about things that have already happened and which cannot be changed. A psychiatrist who counseled unhappy people for more than 25 years found that the most common words he ever heard from his patients were the words, "if only." Needless regrets, remorse, recriminations, anger, and feelings of resentment do more to undermine and destroy human happiness than all other external factors put together. Here's a rule for you. Never criticize or complain about something that cannot be changed. If it has happened and it is irreversible, then make a decision to let it go and instead focus your mind forward on the future and begin to think and talk about the things you want. Refuse to give another thought to the things that you can't do anything about. Never criticize anyone for anything that cannot be changed. If a person is late for any reason, there's no point in criticizing them for their lateness. They cannot go back out and come back in again on time. It's over. It's done with. Let it go. One of the reasons why people criticize others for things that can't be changed is to make them feel guilty. It gives some people a perverse sense of pleasure to make others squirm and feel bad about themselves, especially when there's nothing they can do about it. But this is not for you. You are a totally positive, confident, optimistic, and forward-looking human being. When something goes wrong, you immediately think about the future. Instead of criticizing, you say words like, "Next time, let's do it this way," or "Next time, let's remember to do or not do something different." The words "next time" automatically get everyone thinking forward toward the future, toward what can be done, and toward making things better. Future thinking is inherently optimistic thinking. And, unfortunately, only about 10% of people are future-oriented. The great majority of people are either past-oriented, preoccupied with blame and guilt and resentment, or present-oriented, thinking only about the moment, with very little thought to the long term. Successful, optimistic people, however, are long-term thinkers. They have short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals. They have very clear, specific written plans, and they work on them every day in order to achieve their goals. And the more you think about the future, about your goals, and about what you can do to accomplish them, the more optimistic and energetic you become, the more positive and creative you are, the more pleasant and personable you are in your relationships with others. Remember, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. All that really matters is where you're going. The fourth quality of optimists, and perhaps the most important of all, is that optimists are intensely solution-oriented. They think and talk continually about the solution rather than the problem. They are continually looking for ways to solve the problem and to move ahead rather than dwelling on what happened and who is to blame. This is perhaps the most important single quality of successful, highly paid people. No matter what their title, they see themselves as problem solvers. No matter what your position is in your current work, your real job title is problem solver as well. That's all you do from morning to night is to solve problems. You solve big problems, and you solve little problems. You solve your own problems, and you solve other people's problems. You are a professional problem solver from the time you wake up until the time you go to sleep. When something goes wrong, you immediately respond by saying, "Okay, what do we do now? What's the next step? What's the solution? How do we solve this? What are our options? What's the best choice here?" Remember, any goal you have is merely a problem that you haven't yet solved. Do you want to increase your income? This is merely a problem. Your question is, what's the solution? Do you want to lose weight, improve your relationships, enjoy more energy, have a nicer home, car, or bigger bank account? These are all problems, and your job is to solve these problems positively and constructively. In school, you write tests at the end of each year. If you pass the test, you are promoted to the next year, where the subjects are more difficult and the tests are more challenging. If you continue to pass your test, you continue to be promoted to ever more complex and difficult subjects. Life is like this as well. It is a continuous succession of tests. Every single difficulty you have is a test of some kind. The only question is, do you pass or do you fail? And all you get for passing the test at a certain level is a ticket to the next level, which enables you to sit for and pass even more difficult tests. But here's the good news. Your entire life is determined by your ability to solve the problems and pass the tests at your current level. you continue to rise, to be promoted, and to be paid more in direct relationship to your ability to solve problems and pass tests. People who have flattened out in their lives and careers are people who are no longer capable of solving the problems or passing the tests at their current level. Everything you are, everything you have, everything you accomplish in life is in direct proportion to your ability to find the solutions and pass the tests that come at you relentlessly, day after day, hour after hour, like those waves of the sea. Optimistic people welcome challenges and difficulties, recognizing that they are the inevitable and unavoidable stepping stones to success and achievement. Where there are no problems, there are no opportunities. If you're in sales, you are a professional problem solver. You are looking for customers who have a problem that your product or service can solve. They have something that they want or need in life, and your product or service is the solution. It's the way that they get what they want and need. The very best salespeople, business people, professionals in every field are viewed by their customers and clients as helpers, facilitators, problem solvers with good ideas that they can use to improve the quality of their life and work. Every single advance in business, industry, technology, knowledge, and professions is simply a way to help people to solve their problems better, faster, and at lower price with greater convenience. The most important question, the most important word that the optimist uses is the word how. Whenever you have a problem, your question is how. How do you solve it? How do you improve the situation? How do you overcome the obstacle? And the more you ask the question how, the more creative you become, the more your mind opens up to different possibilities and approaches. When you have a goal, your only question is how. How do you achieve the goal? How do you get from where you are to where you want to go? Optimists don't allow themselves to dwell on whether or not it's possible. The question of whether is off the table. The only question is how. There's more good news. The more optimistic you become, the smarter you become. The more you look for the good, the more good things you find in every situation in your life. The more you seek for the valuable lesson in every setback and difficulty, the more lessons you find and incorporate into your toolbox of thinking tools. And the more thinking tools you have, the more competent and effective you are at solving even greater problems in the future. The more you think about the future, the more future-oriented you become, and the more optimistic you are. The more of your brain is activated and available for you to achieve even bigger goals. And the more you think about solutions, the faster and easier it is for you to come up with even better solutions to even more complicated problems and difficulties. You soon develop the reputation of a person who is loaded with good ideas to solve almost any problem that comes along. We've said before that the most important word in success is the word clarity. You cannot be too clear about the important issues in your life. You must be crystal clear about your goals and your plans. You must know exactly what you want and how you're going to go about achieving it. The more clear you are about your goals, the more you can keep your mind on what you want and keep it off of what you don't want. The more clear you are about your goals, the more clearly you can visualize them as a reality, and the more rapidly you will move toward them, and they will move toward you. With regard to your problems and difficulties, you must be absolutely clear about what they are. Define them clearly, in detail, in writing. Then ask, what are all the possible causes for your major problems or obstacles? What are all the possible solutions? What are the pros and cons of each solution? Once you've clearly analyzed your situation, make a decision, assign responsibility, and take action. Become a moving target. Put the law of probabilities to work on your behalf. The more things you do, the more likely it is that you will do the right thing at the right time. And the more success you have, which you surely will, the more positive, optimistic, and confident you will become. The more and better goals you achieve, the more and better goals you can set for yourself. The more effective you become at solving problems and removing obstacles, the more capable you become of solving even bigger problems and removing even bigger obstacles. When you become a totally optimistic person, when you set more and bigger goals, and you persist longer and harder than anyone else, you'll develop the self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride that makes you virtually unstoppable. Your future will become unlimited. Most of your success in life will be determined by your habits, either good or bad. Good habits are hard to form, but easy to live with. Bad habits are easy to form, but hard to live with. Your job is to consciously, clearly, definitely decide upon and develop the specific habits that can guarantee you higher levels of success, happiness, and achievement throughout your life. Your most valuable asset in terms of cash flow is your earning ability. Your ability to apply your mind and your talents to your world to earn money. You can lose everything you have, as many successful people occasionally do, but you can still pick yourself up and begin pumping tens of thousands of dollars into your life by applying your earning ability to your world. And your earning ability is largely determined by the habits that you have developed throughout your career, starting in early childhood. The law of habit says that everything you do is largely habit of one kind or another. A habit is an automatic response to stimulus, either inside you or in your environment. Once a habit is firmly entrenched, it takes on a power of its own. Like a strong river current, it carries you along with it, and it takes a tremendous effort to fight it. A bad habit can only be replaced by a good habit. It is almost like covering up a bad paint job by layering over with a new paint thick enough so that the old paint disappears. The old habit gets stored away in your subconscious mind, off to the side, and the new habit takes over. The law of practice says that whatever you practice over and over again becomes a new habit. This means that your potential is unlimited if you can be crystal clear about the habits that you need and want to develop in order to achieve the goals that are most important to you. How long does it take to form a new habit? Well, it can take as long as 1, 2, or 3 years to reach the point where you habitually and automatically think and act in a particular way. On the other hand, some new habits can be developed almost instantaneously as a result of a significant emotional experience, a shock of some kind, either positive or negative. A friend of mine, for example, was overweight for many years. Then he had a mild heart attack and was sent to the hospital. His son, a cardiac surgeon, visited him with the bad news. "Dad," he said, "if you don't lose 50 pounds in the next 6 months, you're going to die." My friend had no intention of dying. His son's warning was a wake-up call. From that point forward, he ate smaller portions and exercised every day. Within 6 months, he had lost 50 pounds, completely changed his attitude and his habits of eating, and he never gained the weight back again. Today, he is still thin, fit, and a careful eater. But normally, new habit development takes a long time, depending on the depth and complexity of the old habit you wish to replace and the new habit you wish to develop. The key is for you to be patient. Give yourself a year to develop a new habit, very much like turning an ocean liner around, 1 degree at a time. Remember, one of the most widespread thinking problems in our society is the temptation to look for a quick fix. Everyone wants good things quickly and easily, with little effort. People want to turn around the habits or conditions of a lifetime in a few minutes or a few days. Don't you fall into this trap. Look upon yourself as a do-it-to-yourself project. Set very clear goals for yourself to develop the kinds of habits and behaviors that will lead on to success and achievement, and then begin working at them patiently, steadily, day after day, week after week and month after month, until they are finally and firmly entrenched in your personality. The German philosopher Goethe once wrote that before you can have more, you must first be more. The law of correspondence says that your outer world tends to be a mirror reflection of your inner world. The conditions of your outer world, your health, your wealth, your relationships, and your situation in life tend to directly mirror the way you think and feel on the inside. If you're not happy with something that is going on in the world around you, you must go to work on the world within you. If you're not happy with the way people act and behave, you probably need to change your attitude and your behavior if you want to see changes in theirs. Think of your outer world as a screen and your inner world as a projector. You are constantly projecting onto the screen of your outer world the person that you really are inside. An interesting discovery in both psychology and philosophy is that your actions always reflect your innermost beliefs and convictions. You can always tell who you are by looking at what you do, especially under pressure. You are a choosing animal. You are constantly making choices based on your values, based on what is really important to you at the moment. William James of Harvard, considered the founder of American psychology, once wrote that by changing the things that you do and say, which are under your control, you can actually change the way you think and feel, which, at least initially, is not directly under your control. The law of reversibility says that if you feel and think a particular way, you will act that way on the outside. But this process is reversible, in that if you act in a manner consistent with the person you want to be inside, your actions will have a backflow effect and actually create within you the thoughts and feelings that are consistent with them. For example, if you want to be courageous, simply force yourself to act courageously whenever courage is required. By acting courageously, you eventually develop the habit of courage. You will find it easier and easier to do the things that used to cause you feelings of fear and anxiety. One of the greatest fears that most people have is the fear of public speaking. However, in 1923, Toastmasters International was formed to help business people overcome this fear and be more effective in giving presentations and talks. What they found was quite interesting. No matter how afraid of public speaking a person was initially, if that person was required to stand up and speak to a friendly group of peers once a week and given regular feedback and guidance, eventually the person would lose their fear of speaking and become quite good at it. In psychology, this is called the process of systematic desensitization. You simply do the thing you fear over and over until it holds no more fear for you. You face the fear, confront the fear, and act in spite of your fear until you're no longer afraid. Just as you can develop the habit of courage, you can develop virtually any other habit or discipline that you need to accelerate your life and leverage your talents. We talked before about the theory of constraints. This theory says that between you and any goal you have, there is a constraint or choke point that determines how fast you achieve your goal. One of the smartest things that you can do is to identify the bottleneck or constraint that is limiting your forward progress and focus all of your energies on alleviating that constraint. Sometimes the removal of a single obstacle or the development of a single habit can dramatically increase the speed at which you achieve a particular goal. For example, the Disney Corporation, although it had a wonderful market reputation and a lot of assets, went sideways for many years, losing market share and market value. The board of directors, headed by Roy Disney, Walt Disney's brother, finally realized that the critical constraint holding them back was the selection of a president who had the talents and abilities to maximize the assets of the corporation. Once they had determined that that was the critical constraint on the growth of the Disney organization, they began a search that led to the selection of Michael Eisner as the president and chief executive officer of Disney. He was a perfect choice. Michael Eisner turned out to be one of the finest executives in America. In a matter of just a few years, he turned the company around completely, increased its market value by many billions of dollars, and put the Disney Corporation back on the map as a major producer of entertainment for Americans at every level. With regard to constraints and your goals, fully 80% of the constraints that are holding you back are inside yourself. They are within you in some way. They are contained in a specific quality, habit, or discipline that you lack at this time. Most people cannot see themselves clearly and honestly. That's why the very best people seek out coaches and advisors who can give them honest feedback about their strengths and especially about their weaknesses. The fact is that you cannot get better all by yourself. You need the objective input of other people who can observe you and tell you the various things that you could do or stop doing to be better in your field. Your first question should always be, what is it in me that is holding me back? If you have a chronic problem, a problem that seems to persist and reoccur over and over again in your work or personal life, you can safely assume that this problem is caused by something inside of yourself. It is caused by an attitude, an opinion, a behavior, or a lack of a particular skill, ability, or discipline. Go to someone who knows you and ask for help. The willingness and ability to ask for help from others is the mark of the superior person today. The superior person is more concerned with what's right rather than with who's right. Most people's self-esteem, unfortunately, is so fragile that they cannot invite open and honest criticism from others. But the superior person is more concerned about being successful. The superior person, yourself, is more concerned about getting honest feedback that he or she can evaluate and use than in having their precious ego protected by the politeness of the people around them. By the way, everyone lives in a fishbowl. Everyone is perfectly visible to everyone else. Other people can see your weaknesses clearly, even if you are blind to them, just as you can see everyone else's weaknesses clearly. When you go to someone else and ask them for honest feedback, they will often tell you things you don't like to hear. But if you want to grow, you must be open to feedback from others. As Ken Blanchard says, feedback is the breakfast of champions. Some years ago, I took a 5-day intensive management development program, along with a variety of managers and executives from several other companies, none of whom I had ever seen before nor ever saw again. After 4 intensive days of exercises, often lasting 12 and 14 hours per day, each person was evaluated by the group on a series of qualities that were necessary for success as a manager and as a person. Each of the people in the group had had an opportunity to observe each of the other people for several days. Therefore, within a clear structure, their comments were meant to be honest, objective, and helpful. Also, each person was aware that they would soon be evaluated by the entire group as well. This kept the conversation and feedback at a high and productive level. Each person, when they were on the hot seat, when they were being evaluated by their peers, had 2 written signs that they could hold up. They could not speak, answer, reply, or defend themselves. They could simply hold up one or the other sign in response to a comment or an observation by one of the other managers. The first sign said, "Tell me more." The person may have disagreed with the evaluation of the other, but the only thing he or she could do was to raise the sign, "Tell me more." The other sign said, "For example." If a comment was made with regard to his or her behavior, the individual could raise the sign that said, "For example." But in every case, the individual was not allowed to respond aloud to any of the critiques given by the others. In your own life, one of the smartest things you can do is to go to someone you know and respect and ask them, "Do you see anything in me, any quality or habit, that may be holding me back?" Remember, no one wants to get into an argument or a fight with you. The only way that you can elicit the kind of feedback you need to move ahead more rapidly in your life is for you to be completely open and accepting of anything that anyone else says. Now, it may or may not be true. Nonetheless, the more honest and open feedback you receive, the more tools you will have to design and improve your own character and your own personality. When someone gives you an honest piece of feedback, when someone points out a weakness or something that you should be doing more of or less of, your only responses should be either, "Tell me more," or, "For example." You will be absolutely amazed at how helpful other people can be if they know you will not become angry or defensive when you invite honest feedback from them. You will also be amazed at how rapidly you can grow, develop, and evolve into an excellent person when you're willing to take feedback from whatever source without becoming upset or angry or justifying or rationalizing your behavior. Your real job is to increase your earning ability. Your job is to accelerate your progress towards your goals. Your job is to leverage your talents and skills so that you can get vastly more out of life and your work than the average person. Your job is to multiply yourself times other people's ideas, other people's knowledge, other people's energies, and other people's money. Everything else must be set aside and made secondary to your desire to live your life to the full and to achieve everything that is possible for you to achieve. Your key question is always, how do I get the most out of myself? There's more good news. Sometimes a single change in something that you are doing or not doing can lead to a dramatic change in your results, and very quickly. Let me give you an example. Many people have never been taught to type properly. If you don't know how to type, you will use what is called the hunt and peck method. This consists of you staring intently at the keyboard and hunting and pecking with your forefingers whenever typing is necessary. The very best you can get to with a hunt and peck method is about 5 to 8 words per minute. However, if you decide to learn to touch type and you take a few lessons, in a very short period of time you will learn where to put your fingers on the keyboard and how to use each key by touching it with the appropriate finger. By practicing 30 to 60 minutes per day on a keyboard, within 1 month you will be typing 20 to 30 words per minute. Within 2 months, you will be typing 30 to 50 words per minute. And by the end of 3 months, practicing an hour a day, you can be typing 50 to 80 words per minute. Now look at what has happened. When you began, you were typing 5 to 8 words per minute. Today, however, you are typing 50 to 80 words per minute, 10 times faster. Only 90 days has passed, but now you are producing 10 times as much as you were with a typewriter 3 months ago. And at the same or even better quality. Are you 10 times smarter today? Are you 10 times better educated? Are you working 10 times the number of hours? Are you 10 times better than someone else who is a hunt and peck typist? And the answer to these questions is, of course not. You are exactly the same person you were 90 days ago. You have merely developed a specific discipline or habit of typing that has enabled you to be 10 times more productive when you use a keyboard. You are surrounded by talents and abilities that you can upgrade very quickly so as to bring about rapid improvements in the quality and quantity of the things you produce. Your job is to determine what these key habits, disciplines, and skills are, and then go to work to develop them to a high level. One of the most important parts of success is a principle called the experience curve. Experience curve theory was first developed by the Boston Consulting Group some years ago. What it says is very interesting. Experience curve theory states that the more you do something, the better you get at it. The better you get at a particular task, the less time it takes you to do the task at the same level of quality or even at a higher level of quality. When you begin on a new or difficult task, for example, it may take you 100 units of time to achieve a particular result, like making a sale, negotiating a contract, or doing a deal. But as you get better and better, you are able to accomplish the same or better result in less and less time. Because you have more and more time, you can accomplish more and more of the same task. Your results begin to increase rapidly. When you become a top salesperson and you become absolutely excellent at every part of selling, you will be able to find better prospects, make better presentations, close better and bigger sales faster and more easily than ever before. Moving down the experience curve by getting better and better and faster, you actually achieve more, earn more, get promoted faster, and move up more quickly with less effort than it took when you were just starting off, when you didn't have the essential skills and abilities that you have today. One of the most important things that you do in life is to throw your whole heart into becoming absolutely excellent at the important things you do so that you move quickly down the experience curve. In this way, you can get more and more done in less and less time and be paid more and more with less and less effort. This is the real key to success in your field and in any business. There are several disciplines or habits that you need to develop in order to maximize your ability, in order for you to move more rapidly toward the achievement of your goals. The first discipline, as we've already discussed, is the habit of continuous goal setting. We've talked about goal setting extensively already, but the habit of continuous goal setting is something that you have to learn so that it becomes as much a part of you as breathing in and breathing out. Continuous goal setting means that you write and rewrite your goals every single day. It means that you always think on paper, and you are continually making lists of the things you want and the things you will have to do to achieve them. Perhaps the most powerful tool for success that you will ever acquire is a simple spiral notebook. I learned this method many years ago, and it transformed my entire life. Everyone I've ever taught it to has come back to me absolutely amazed at its incredible power in helping you to achieve great success. Get yourself a spiral notebook, and every morning, open it up and write down your major goals in the present tense. Earlier, we talked about making a list of 10 goals that you want to accomplish in the next year and putting the list away. If you simply made a list one time and put the list away, in a year, when you opened up the list, you would be amazed at how many of your goals had been accomplished. However, if you want to step on the accelerator of your own potential, you should write and rewrite your goals in the present tense every single morning before you start off. This is very much like looking at the roadmap before you start off on a trip each morning. When you rewrite and review your goals each morning, you drive them deeper and deeper into your subconscious mind. You activate your superconscious mind. You trigger all kinds of ideas and possibilities that help you to achieve your goal. You trigger the law of attraction and begin to attract into your life people, ideas, circumstances, and resources that will help you move towards your goals. As you write your goals, you use your eyes to see them, your ears as you sub-vocalize what you are writing, and your body to physically put the goals on paper. At the same time, you visualize and imagine your goals as realities. You reaffirm your goals by writing them down in the present tense. You use a whole series of your personal faculties every time you write and rewrite your goals before you start your day. If you've ever been in a car when the driver punched the accelerator and the car leaped forward, throwing you back in the seat, you've had the experience that you will have when you start writing and rewriting your goals every day. You will feel as though your whole life is taking off at a rapid speed. Recently, a gentleman came up to me at a seminar and told me that he had started this process a few weeks ago. He said that it was almost scary how fast his life changed, how quickly his income improved. He said that it was exhilarating and that he was getting more satisfaction from what he was doing today than he had ever thought possible. This will happen to you as well. Develop the habit of continuous goal setting every day. Get a spiral notebook and write and rewrite your goals in the present tense. You should have at least 10 goals at any one time, including your major definite purpose, but you can have as many more than 10 as you like. Write them in the present tense as though you have already achieved them. Visualize and imagine them as if they were already part of your life. And most important of all, when you get ideas, inspirations, and insights for things that you can do to achieve the goals, act on them immediately. You will be amazed at what happens. Move fast. Do it now. The second habit you need to develop is the habit of time management. In reality, time management is self-management, life management. It is the management of yourself. The quality of your life is largely determined by the quality of your time management. In study after study, we have found that successful people are simply those who do more things of higher value more of the time. Unsuccessful people are those who do more things of lower value more of the time. And whatever you do over and over repeatedly becomes a habit. Highly successful people are those who have developed the habit of constantly working on the most valuable things they could possibly be doing every given moment. Use the 80-20 rule on everything. This says that 20% of what you do will account for 80% of your results, 80% of the value of what you do. 20% of your customers will account for 80% of your sales. 20% of your products will account for 80% of your business. 20% of your activities will account for 80% of the value of your accomplishments. Good time management requires that you make a list of everything you have to do before you begin. The best time to make this list is the night before, at the end of the day. Then, go through the list and set priorities on the list based on what is more important and what is less important before you begin work. Imagine if you could only do one thing on your list. What one thing would it be? If you had time to do a second, what would your second task be? Continue this exercise until you have organized your list by priority. When you start each morning, always start on the most valuable use of your time. Ask yourself, what can I and only I do that, if done well, will make a real difference? Whatever it is, start with your most important task, the one thing that you and only you can do, and then discipline yourself to stay with it until it's done. The number one reason for success in life and business is that successful people have developed the ability to write down their goals and organize them by priority. They then write down everything they can think of that they will have to do to achieve the goals and organize those tasks by priority as well. Finally, they discipline themselves to start work on the most valuable use of their time and stay at it single-mindedly until the task is complete. If you can do this, you can conquer the world. If you cannot, you will always have to work for someone else who can make you do it, who can supervise you and watch you and continually check on your activities to make sure you are working on the most valuable use of your time. And this is definitely not for you. The third habit you must develop is the habit of thorough preparation. It is absolutely amazing how many people go into a meeting or sales call without having prepared thoroughly in advance. Somehow, they think that they are going to be able to fool the other person. But today, people are far smarter and more experienced than they have ever been before. Today, the other people you are dealing with have had meetings and experiences with hundreds, perhaps thousands of other people. They know almost instantly if you have done your homework, if you are thoroughly prepared for this discussion. And the instant they realize that you are trying to wing it, they lose all respect for you. I can tell you story after story about men and women whose entire lives have been changed because they took the time, even more time than could have been justified, to thoroughly prepare before an important meeting of some kind. Not long ago, we were interviewing for an executive who we were prepared to pay $60,000 per year plus the opportunity for bonuses and incentives based on performance. It was a very good job, and we had 42 applicants. The applicants were sorted out one by one, and we eventually developed a short list with three people who apparently had the required skills, experience, and ability. I interviewed the first applicant on the list personally. He arrived at the interview poorly dressed, wearing a short-sleeved shirt under a suit and with dirty, greasy hair. He was extremely well-educated, had excellent academic credentials and ample experience, but his lack of personal preparation and poor appearance eliminated him immediately. The second applicant was well-dressed and well-groomed. He was bright, cheerful, talkative, well-educated, and friendly. He had a good sense of humor and spoke a mile a minute. After a few pleasantries, I asked him a simple question. I said, "Please explain to me how our business works and how your job would affect our business activities." It was the most amazing experience. He literally fell apart. He bluffed and flustered and floundered and grabbed for words and looked around for help and was completely at a loss. We had sent him an entire file of material in our business, and he had not read a word. He was trying to bluff his way into a job even though he had had several days to read, prepare, reflect, and be ready for this final interview. The third candidate, and by this time I was becoming both impatient and discouraged, showed up on time, well-dressed, and thoroughly prepared. When I asked him the question about our business, He explained our business back to me with such thoroughness and detail that I was amazed. So were the other people in the room. He explained exactly what his job would consist of and exactly how he could do his job well to help us achieve our goals. We looked at each other, and we hired him on the spot. The rule is for you not only to prepare, but to over-prepare. I have personally spent as much as 8 hours preparing for a 15-minute meeting, and it was worth every single minute of those 8 hours. One critical meeting, one critical decision, can jump you ahead years in your career if you are ready for it. You must also develop the habit of continuous learning. Remember, to earn more, you must learn more. You must learn like you eat or drink, continuously, every day, in a variety of ways. Become a reader. Buy every book, magazine, and newsletter that can possibly help you. Dedicate yourself to reading 1, 2, 3 hours per day and taking good notes. If you read an hour per day in your field, that will translate into one book per week. One book per week will translate into 50 books per year. Since the average adult reads less than one book per year, if you read one book per week, you will have an incredible advantage over virtually anyone and everyone you ever meet. Listen to every audio program that you can. Turn your car into a university on wheels, a learning machine. Never allow your wheels to be moving without your audio programs playing. Remember, all education is based on trickle-down. You don't learn in huge lumps. You learn a little bit at a time at every opportunity. This is the only way that your brain can absorb and retain information, a little at a time, every hour, every day. Take every course and seminar you can. Books, audio programs, and seminars all represent condensed time or condensed life. They save you hundreds, even thousands of hours and thousands of dollars trying to get the information yourself or learning it by experience. You can become one of the best educated, smartest, highest paid people in your field by dedicating yourself to continuous learning day after day, month after month, year after year. Finally, develop the discipline of action orientation. In study after study of successful people, of people who are promoted faster and paid more, the one quality that stands out is that they are intensely action-oriented. They get an idea and then they move on it quickly. They see an opportunity or possibility and they take advantage of it fast. Action-oriented people show a lot of initiative. If they see something that needs doing, they do it, and they do it immediately. If they are given an assignment, they get on with it right away. Action-oriented people have a natural sense of urgency. They work in real time. They know that something done quickly is far more valuable than something that is done when a person gets around to it. Sometimes your decision to act faster than the average person is the one habit that can give you the winning edge in your life. Develop a reputation for being a person who is extremely well organized and who has good priorities. Develop a reputation for being a person who is thoroughly prepared and who is constantly learning to become better and better. Especially, develop a reputation for being the kind of person who gets the job done quickly and well. This will bring you to the attention of people as fast or faster than any other quality you can develop. And the good news is that the faster you move, the more you get done. The faster you move and the more you get done, the more experience you get, and the better you become. The faster you move, the more energy you have. The faster you move, the more optimistic you become. The faster you move, the more you earn the respect and esteem of all the people around you. The faster you move, the more valuable and important you become to your customers, your coworkers, and your company. Best of all, the faster you move, the more you put every one of these ideas into practice, the more you step on the accelerator of your own potential. The faster you move, the more you leverage your time, talents, and abilities, and the more you accomplish in every part of your life. Decide today to dedicate yourself to developing the disciplines of success and achievement. Practice them over and over again until they become second nature. You will soon find it easier and easier to accomplish more and more of the things you want faster and faster.
If you enjoyed this program from Master Motivator and Success Coach Brian Tracy, you are probably the type of high achiever that would benefit from Brian Tracy's personal success coaching program. This one-on-one coaching program is unlike any self-development tool ever offered. Imagine spending 12 weeks with your own coach who has been personally trained by Brian Tracy. Your coach will aid you on building your life strategies, guiding you as you take action steps toward making your greatest desires a reality. If you are like many, you often set goals, but sometimes lack the motivation to carry them through. With the ongoing nurturing and guidance of your personal coach and this outstanding program, you will be accountable for the changes you want to make in your life, and you'll soon see those changes becoming a reality. Created exclusively for Nightingale Connett by Brian Tracy, this program has had massive life-changing results on those that have committed themselves to it. It consists of a minimum of 12 weeks of 30-minute one-on-one telecoaching sessions with a trained personal coach. Accompanying the program are 12 cassette tapes, one for each week of study, along with a guidebook. This extraordinary program focuses on every aspect of your life and helps to integrate and balance your life success skills along with your business growth. Brian Tracy's Personal Success Coaching Program offers you guidance in the areas of strategic planning, intelligence, health and fitness, power, career success, time management, financial planning, life success, relationships, goal setting, leadership, and building character. Your life will magically transform as you turn your conceptualized thoughts into active steps toward achieving your goals. Brian Tracy's Personal Success Coaching Program is one of the most comprehensive, powerful self-development programs to date and is designed to fit your goals, dreams, and desires both personally and professionally. Act now, today, and call in to receive further information and your free personal success profile with one of our trained personal development representatives. Designed with Brian Tracy, this profile will identify your strengths and pinpoint your growth opportunities. We offer this analysis to you at no cost and no obligation, so don't delay. To register for this outstanding coaching program or to receive your free personal success profile, call Nightingale Connett now at this number, 1-877-297-9799. That's 1-877-297-9799 and ask for Brian Tracy's Personal Success Coaching Profile. It's one phone call that could change your life.